Well, it is the end of the school year. We have just a few days left in my kids' school. And at the end of the year, the backpacks are full, right? They come home and they have all of their art projects throughout the year, you know, and as a parent, you're in this like conundrum because you don't really know what to do with them, you know? Like you want to just love them and hang them and all of these things, but, you know, you're just like, man, there's just so many of them. I just don't know what to do with all of them. And we always say, we'll get to these and put them up on top of the refrigerator. But at the end of the school year, the kids love it because, you know, school is totally different. You know, they don't do the same things. They don't talk about the same things. Most of testing, all of that kind of stuff is over. One of the things that they always do at the end of the year is that they have to figure out what to do with all of their pets. If you remember back in elementary school, every teacher has a pet. It's a class pet, whatever it may be. And I remember that there was one summer where I was able to bring the pet home, right? I don't know if you guys as a parent or anything like that were ever able to bring the pet home, but it was so exciting to be able to do that for the first week or so, and then you got to keep feeding that thing. But Corbin came home this week, and he said, Daddy, we let our butterflies go so they could go see the world. And I'm like, what an awesome perspective. What an amazing perspective. As a first grader, he got to see this caterpillar contained in this box, and then it goes into its change, and it's completely transformed into a butterfly, and they get to let it go. What an amazing perspective. I mean, who wouldn't love to fly around and see the world, right? Who wouldn't love to just be completely unencumbered by the weight of the world? To be able to go wherever you want, to not have to worry about this, but be able to fly, be able to go anywhere and be completely free. We are in the fourth week of our Compelled series, where we are talking about Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 5 that says, Christ's love compels me. It drives me. It motivates me. What we find today changes me. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 13, and we've been reading kind of the same passage. We're going to keep going a little bit further today. Verse 13 says, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And we continue. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And I love the first part of 18. It says, all this is from God. All this is from God. A powerful statement. You know, as elementary as it sounds, there's no better picture than a being made new than the picture of a butterfly. There's no better picture of a new creation. It's so simple. You know, you have a caterpillar inching along. You put it in a container. Eventually, it turns into a butterfly. It's kind of magical. You know, as a kid, it's so fun to watch that happen. It seems so simple, but when you really know what's going on, it's remarkably complex. At a certain point in the life of a caterpillar, the hormones start to pump. The genes start to kick in. And they shed their skin to form this cocoon, which is also called a chrysalis. Yes. We think this caterpillar just kind of sprouts wings, you know, sprouts wings out of its side, like this butterfly is just a caterpillar with wings, but that's not what happens. Actually, when you cut open a chrysalis, there's no caterpillar. Right? There's no wormy body, there's no head, there's no antennas or spikes. It's just like this goo. I mean, scientifically speaking, that is. It's just like this full of this goop. In reality, the whole caterpillar dissolves. The body breaks itself down into what is called imaginal cells. Imaginal cells are a lot like stem cells. They can become any type of cell. So the imaginal cells put themselves back together in a new shape, in this new form. And that goo turns into a butterfly. What a dramatic change. Something starting all over, being made completely new. In the same way, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. A simple yet complex transformation, complex metamorphosis has taken place because the old is gone and the new has come. We are compelled by the love of Christ. We are so compelled by the love of Christ that we will die in order to be reborn into life. We are so compelled by the love that we live from this new position. We are so compelled by his love that our desires are different. And when our desires start to become different, we start to see things with a whole new perspective. Three different things. Position, this new position, new passions, and new perspective. There's a big difference between the position of a caterpillar and the position of a butterfly. It's obvious. A caterpillar crawls along the ground. It can't do anything but that. There is nothing it can do on its own to change its position. It will always crawl on the ground. On the other hand, a butterfly is free to fly wherever it pleases. It is literally elevated to a new position where it can, as Corbin says, go out and see the world. See all of the world. Like the caterpillar, before Christ, we wallow around in the filth of life. We wallow around in the dirt of life with no way to change that. We wish we could be different. We wish we could be more, do more. We wish we could taste more. We wish we could see more. But we're born this way. We're born into the way we are, and no matter how hard we try, we can't change. I mean, we try to change. We try to do it. We come up with all sorts of things. We read books all the time that are trying to help us learn how to change. But no matter how many times we change what we do, never changes who you are. No matter how many times you add a new list, a new checkbox, no matter how many times you change the things you do, it never changes who you are. Our position in life seems to be set, and there's nothing we can do about it. However, there's Jesus. However, because of Jesus, we get to live in God's grace. We are free from the chains, free from the bondage, free from that sin that so easily entangles us. We are made new. We are a new creation. Because of Jesus, our position has completely changed. No longer do we have to wallow around in the filth and the dirt of life, but we can be elevated because of the cross, because of Jesus. We're now in a new position with our Creator. It is not on our works, it's not on what we do, but it's now all about Jesus. And with our new position, when our position changes, other things start to change as well, because what we find is we have new passions, new things that drive us, new things that compel us. Last week, we started talking about the transformation that takes place in the lives of a Christ follower. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark is describing the change as dying to our own desires and then passionately pursuing him. We are so compelled by the love of Christ that we pick up our cross every day and follow him. It's amazing to me when you look throughout our life how our passions change, how our pursuits change. Right, go back with me, if you will, to kindergarten. Now, maybe my kindergarten was different, but when I was in kindergarten, at recess, we played kissing tag. I know, every time I say that, people are like, what? I just didn't know any different, right? Now, let me assure you, there was no kissing involved. You know, we were quick. We were fast. There was no way those cooties were going to get on us. There's no way. There was never a kiss involved, but we played kissing tag every week. I don't know what the draw was, but that's what we did. But they weren't getting close to us. Those girls, no way. They were not getting close to me. I was fast. Well, things change. About second or third grade, we start to see the opposite sex a little bit different. Right? They play on our soccer team. They play on our baseball team. We're playing dodgeball. We're playing kickball, all of those things. What ends up happening is those girls that we used to run away from, now they're just one of the guys. You know, we would spit around them. We would punch them, you know, and all of these things. We would just hang out together playing all sorts of sports, anything that we can just to be active. Well, if I remember right, I think it was about the fifth grade. The fifth grade things started to change again, right? Because now it wasn't just one of the guys. We stopped punching the girls. And now we started to see some of our friends, instead of coming out and playing basketball or whatever, they're hanging out at the neighbor girl's house. And you're thinking, you're not even doing anything. You're just hanging out. Come on, come play basketball. But then it hits us. Right? We're standing there, our friend walks by holding hands with a girl, and then you utter in your head, I have got to get me one of those. I have got to get me one of those. And the pursuit begins. Right? It's amazing how our pursuits change, how our passions change in life. See, a caterpillar enjoyed crawling around in the dirt. That's all it knew. Filling its belly with the things that the world offers up. However, though, it is limited. It is limited to what is right in front of it or what it's going to get to before it gets hungry, right? Whatever is there, that is the only thing that it can eat. The passions, the desires of the caterpillar are completely limited by what's right in front of it. When we were in our old lives, before we've said yes to Jesus, before we were made new, our capacity for passion was capped. Our capacity for passion was limited, and it was limited by ourself. It was limited by our own selfish desires. It was limited by our greed, not only to get what I want, but get what I just feel like I have to have or feel like I have the right to have. There wasn't anything else. There wasn't anyone else. All I knew was me. The butterfly, on the other hand, experiences the joy of flying. It's freed by its new possibilities to go wherever it wants to, wherever it chooses, wherever it wants to see true beauty, wherever it wants to see true worth, wherever it wants to see true value. Because of a butterfly's position, it's able to find new joys, new passions that are completely unknown to a caterpillar. And that gives it a whole new perspective. We see, as a Christ follower, a made new Christ follower with a new perspective. Let's carry this analogy all the way out, because this caterpillar is crawling around on the ground, only sees a fraction of what God's created. Its whole lifetime, it doesn't get to travel very far. It only sees such a small amount, and it's limited to the drudgery and pointless scuffing for food and water. It's limited to its perspective, what it sees, and it's trapped by the things that completely occupy its life. Do you remember those days? Do you experience them now? You're completely occupied by just what's in front of you, just trying to get by, paycheck to paycheck, just trying to get by. Make it through this circumstance, make it through that. If we could just get by this, things are going to be better. So we scuffle along. We scuffle along, limited and trapped by the drudgery of life. The butterfly, on the other hand, flies above it, sees creation and all of the splendor of God in it. It soars, it reaches heights and views and understandings that the caterpillar never will. It literally views life from a new perspective. See, as a new creation, as one made new, we see with a God perspective. Things that once seemed insurmountable, that once seemed these mountains that I'll never be able to get by, we start to see them what they really are. Molehills at best. Where we once thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to climb over that. There's no way I'm going to be able to get past that. We look at our debt load and we say, no way I'm going to get over that. We look at a tragedy that happened and say, there's no way we're ever going to get by that. But as a made new Christ follower, we start to see them from what they are. A new perspective changes our struggles. A new perspective changes the pain, the trouble. We see things differently. And when our perspective changes, we start to live like we never have before. Rather than being trapped by our circumstances, by what is right in front of us, rather than being completely chained to fear, the fear of making that next step, we start to think in a different way. We start to think what Christ can do despite my failure, despite the circumstances. We start to think what Christ can do in me, and then that causes me to do some things that, let's face it, are pretty crazy. We've all done some pretty ridiculous, illogical, and irrational things in the passionate pursuit of another, haven't we? Let me tell you, when I was in college, I'd lost my mind one summer. I was dating Melinda, and she traveled for a singing group at Indiana Wesleyan, and you know, it was called Rejoice, and they went around singing Southern gospel music. Anyway, they would travel from one camp to another, and they'd be with one group of students and another group of students. Well, she never knew where she was at. Melinda's the type that, you know, doesn't really, you know, where you at, Melinda? I don't know. And I'm like, what? You just drove 8 hours to get someplace. You know, you got to know where you're going. Anyway, it happened all the time. Hey, where you at? I don't know. Hey, David, where are we at? We're in North Carolina. Okay. So they were traveling, and they went to this one camp. It was called Table Rock Camp. And the director of Table Rock Camp was the brother of my golf coach. His name was Dan Wood, was my golf coach. Pete Wood was the director. And so I called Pete Wood because we had played golf several times together. And, you know, we were dating, and it was Melinda's birthday. And so, you know, I needed to do something for Melinda's birthday. So I called her. I'd already sent her a care package, some Birkenstocks, some nice wool socks. Amen. So I called. I called Pete, and I said, Pete, I want to do something. I want to do something special. And we start talking, and anything, we made up this whole plan. I completely lost my mind, and this is what we pulled off. During the night rally, right, that's the big rally of camp, right? During the night rally, when all the students are in there, I called Pete. He held the phone up to the microphone in front of 250 students. I sang happy birthday to Melinda. I lost my mind. Have you heard me sing before? I mean, seriously. The only way I could do it is that I wasn't in the room, right? I mean, they're probably still talking about that, making fun of me, whatever it may be. But, you know, that's just what happens. I was so compelled by the love that I had for Melinda that it caused me to do some pretty crazy things, irrational things. As a Christ follower, we aren't defined by our old life. As a made new Christ follower, we're not defined by where we were. We've been compelled by his love to become new creations, a new creation with a different position. A new creation with all new passions and a new perspective. A new creation that can say these three words: wherever, whenever, and whatever. Wherever, whenever, and whatever. Jesus was having this conversation with these three men, and it was a great conversation about the cost of following Jesus. And as each one of them came to him, they honestly had what seems to be some pretty good excuses. But you know what they say about excuses? If you don't, look it up. We have in Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 57, it says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. See, generally speaking, we agree with this first man, really with each one of them. With this first man, we agree, we have said, and we continue to say, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever. But the problem is when he starts to get a little more specific. Generally speaking, of course, we're going to say that. As Christ followers, we will go wherever you go. Wherever you send us, we will go. But then he says, have you ever thought about this place? When he gets specific, things start to change in our mind and the excuses start flying. Are you willing, can you really say wherever? When we say wherever, do we mean in our home? When we say we will follow wherever, do we mean at the workplace, or do we lug that cross up to the door and then drop it before we go in? When we say wherever, do we mean the ball game? Do we mean the neighborhood? What if he got specific and said, I need you to go to that person in that place with whom and where you don't normally go? A Christ follower who's been made new can say wherever. The second guy, man, he's got excuses too. Pretty good excuses if you ask me. Jesus says, follow me, but it's just really not the right time for this man. It's interesting, though, that he calls Jesus Lord. You notice that? It's not like Jesus just came up to anybody and says, come follow me. He answers back to Jesus, Lord. You can see this position that he has with Jesus. It is different than just anybody. He says, Lord, but then he says, first. Lord, first let me go bury my dad. First let me take care of things. Just not right now. Tomorrow, though, for sure. My question to all of us is, how long are we going to live in Tomorrowland? I haven't seen the movie. How long are we going to live in Tomorrowland? Tomorrow I will do that. Tomorrow I start the diet. Tomorrow I start exercising. Tomorrow I will talk to him. Tomorrow I will pray with my spouse. Tomorrow we will read the Bible together as a family. How long are we going to live in Tomorrowland? A made new Christ follower can say wherever and whenever. This last guy, he says, I will follow you, but. And you really don't have to go any further. I will follow you, but. Because whatever comes after but cancels out the first words. I will follow you, but. It's not that following Jesus wasn't important to this guy. It's just that it wasn't the priority. He wants to follow Jesus, but just not with everything. He can't say whatever. True change costs us everything. And the reason Jesus is so adamant about the cost is because that one thing that we are most reluctant to give up is the one thing that has the most potential to become a substitute for him. That one thing that we've been holding on to, that one thing that we have said, tomorrow I let it go, is the one thing that replaces him, replaces the worship that is only deserved to him, the affection only deserved to him. What is that thing? What is that thing? We hold on to things that we think give us peace, that we think give us some sort of satisfaction. But it's so short-lived. A made new Christ follower can say wherever, whenever, and whatever. Paul said, man, I'm a new creation. Not only has my position changed, but so have my passions. The things I want to do are different. He passionately pursues Jesus, and that gives him this whole new perspective on life. He didn't see things like he used to. What once gripped him became the thing that was stopping him from following Jesus with everything. He can say, wherever, Jesus, I will follow you whenever. Lord, I will give up whatever. See, there's this idea that when we think about dying to ourselves, when we think about picking up our cross, that we're going to be miserable. That we're going to have to drudge through life, that we're going to never be happy, that we're going to have to give up all of these things that we think give us joy. But what is amazing are the changes that take place. That because of Jesus, we can be completely changed, completely made new. In taking up our cross and dying to ourselves, we experience a surprising side effect. We discover true life. Not just a life like we've always known, but a full life. The Bible says it's an abundant life. Jesus went through the self-denying pain of the cross. He went all the way to the cross. And what seemed completely crazy is the one thing that brought life to anyone who calls on his name. Each week we take communion together. And in communion, we remember. In communion, we are reminded what freedom costs. What it took to give us the ability to fly. We remember the pain. We remember the suffering, the troubles, the trials. But now we see him from a whole new perspective. Now, as we picture in our mind our Savior dying on a cross, we can do it with a smile. Because he has given up everything for us to be made new. So today I ask, if that is you, if you have said yes to Jesus, if you're like, that is my life is marked by this newness. I'm not defined by the way I was. I encourage you to come up and take communion together as a family. If that's not you, that's not you, and you're still wallowing around in the dirt of life, thinking you're filling your belly. There's so much more. There's a life that you don't even know what it's like yet. But it's here. Christ died for us to just take it. That, my friend, is grace. Let's pray. Father, Father, the cross that was known, that was meant for pain and suffering, became the only place we can find peace, the only place that we can find freedom, the only place that we can be in a position, in a relationship with our Creator. Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his obedience. Thank you for his self-denying act that was necessary. God, and I pray as we take this bread that represents your body, as we take this juice that represents the blood that was spilt, may we do it with joy, this new perspective, that life is different because we've been made new. Pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.